we'll go in 3, 2, and 1. And ready to welcome in our next guest as the Brewers and Cardinals opening up that 3-game series at Miller Park. Maybe not as big of a series as we thought the last two times this team's meet, but still St. Louis, if there's any chance, they'll come back and starts with tonight. And breaking down the Cardinals for us, sports director with Missouri Net Radio, we say a good afternoon to Bill Pollack. Bill, is St. Louis pretty much thrown in the towel?
Close. I mean, the players are saying that, you know, they're still going to fight, they're still going to battle, but you can tell that they're also kind of making the transition and starting to look ahead to next year. And I say that because on Thursday afternoon, they're going to start a rookie, Brandon Dixon, who at the AAA level in Memphis, against Nashville too, I think he pitched pretty well, but he's 8-9 this season, and he's one of those young arms that they're looking at. So they're kind of keeping an eye on 2012 as well. I mean, the reality, you know, 10.5 games at this point in the season is a big hill to climb.
They still have 6 games against each other, so if feasibly, if St. Louis won all 6, it would be a 4.5 game lead, but kind of like you said, I don't think anybody's looking at it that way.
No, and, you know, we were talking about that here, too. Okay, even if they did win all 6 of those games, that's still 4.5 games, and that's quite a bit when you get to the middle of September. I mean, that's no easy task either. So, you know, you're asking the Cardinals to, all right, go out and win 6 games against Milwaukee and then try to make up 5 games somewhere else in the standings. And the way that you guys have been playing, I mean, that's going to be near impossible. There's no way that the Cardinals are going to sweep all 6 games from the Brewers.
Is it kind of shocking that here we are entering September, and I know we talked about a month ago before the first of the two series there, but that Milwaukee has run away with it the way that they have? I mean, I kind of felt like this was going to go down to the wire between these two teams.
Well, you know, I did too, but I mean, you have to give credit to Milwaukee and the job that they've done and just, you know, how red hot that they've been. So when you see that, it's, you know, I mean, the Cardinals have played okay baseball. I mean, it hasn't been, you know, barn-burning by any stretch of the imagination. They've played some good ball, but, I mean, you just have to hand it to Milwaukee. I mean, they earned it. And I think when you get into postseason, I think that's important, and that's going to be a big boost for the Brewers, is the fact that they won the division. It wasn't one of those things where the Cardinals went out down the final stretch and lost 10 of their last 12 games, and you know, the Brewers barely played 500 ball themselves and eked in. I mean, they earned it. When it was on the line and they had a 2.5 game lead, they pushed that lead against the Cardinals and took off from there. And you have to tip your cap to Milwaukee.
Bill Pollack, Missouri Net Radio Sports, talking some Cardinal baseball with us as the Brewers welcome St. Louis into Miller Park for the first of 3 tonight here on AM 1570, 95.3 FM, The Score. Has the talk already surfaced of Tony La Russa and what he's going to do? I know last year there was some thought whether or not he was going to come back.
Yeah, I know there was, but you know, he has a chance to move up to number 2 all-time on the managerial win list. My gut tells me that next year will be his last year. He'll get to number 2 on that list, and then he'll move on, I think. You know, this season has certainly been a strain on him. Of course, early in the year, he was battling some health issues. He had shingles. They thought it was pink eye at first. It wasn't getting any better. He had to take some time off. He was in Arizona getting some treatment. So, you know, I think he's getting to that point. But I think that's a milestone, something that he wants to achieve. And I think once he gets that, I think after next season, he'll move on.
Is the fan base ready to move on from Tony La Russa?
yeah, you know, I think so. You know, you can't – you look at his success, and you obviously – understand that he knows what he's doing, but there's a lot of times that he does stuff and people just scratch their head. And I'm trying to go back to the game. I'm trying to think of an example. And I can't remember who they're playing. It got me on the spot here, but it was an 8-0 game and they had the bases loaded and the pitcher spot was coming up and he let the pitcher bat, struck out with the bases loaded, and the fans booed. They booed that decision. Now it was in the third or fourth inning of the game, and he had been using his bullpen a lot, so it was one of those things where you thought, all right, can we really come back from an 8-run deficit? It was almost like he was throwing in the towel thinking, all right, we're going to write this game off, and let's just save our bullpen and move forward from here. And the fans didn't like that. I mean, the fans are in this mode of, hey, we've got to try to catch Milwaukee. We've got to try to win every game that we can. And they just thought that throwing in the towel by the third inning was the wrong choice. So, you know, hey, when the team is winning and the team is successful, everybody loves Tony La Russa. When things are struggling, then everybody questions every single move he makes.
Should we expect any extracurriculars in this series?
No, I don't think so. I really don't. I think that if you look at the first couple games of this series and Milwaukee continues to dominate, I think they're going to take the life out of the Cardinals, and I don't think there's much fight. I think if it was a little bit closer, you know, within five games, yeah, I think you could see some fireworks potentially. I mean, the Cardinals tend to be a little bit of a testy team, and, you know, we've talked about this before, you and I. You know, they don't get along very well with Cincinnati. They question some of the things that the Brewers do in terms of, you know, how they celebrate and how they conduct themselves on the field, and things just get very edgy with the Cardinals. But I think at this point, they may have lost a lot of their fight.
Two more minutes here with Bill Pollack, sports director for Missouri Net Radio, our St. Louis Cardinals preview with the Cardinals coming to Miller Park, opening up a three-game series tonight. Talking with Bill on the score. I mentioned the talk turned to Tony La Russa. Has the Albert Pujols chatter restarted yet as well?
You know, people are starting to eye next year. You know, I really think in my gut, though, I really think that Albert Pujols stays a Cardinal. I think that he'll make them sweat. I think that he'll certainly, although I don't think he's driven by money, I think he wants to be paid what's owed to him. And I think the Cardinals will step up and deliver that. I think the one thing that might actually help the Cardinals in this point is that there's another first baseman that's up for free agency, and that's, you know, Prince Fielder. And I think other teams may look at that and say, hey, we might be able to go after Prince, a great RBI guy, and maybe not have to give that 10-year, $300 million contract that has been thrown out there for Albert Pujols. So that actually might help the Cardinals in the fact that other teams may say, you know, let's go in that direction, and if we can save some money, you know, down the road and not have to pay, you know, for Albert.
Is he still the top free agent? I mean, that top sought-after guy in baseball? I think so. I know some people have said, well, maybe Fielder's going to get more money than him. I hardly believe that. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't think that Fielder will get more money. But who signs Pujols? And that's the thing that we try to battle with here. I mean, you look at, okay, you can say that the Yankees, well, they've got Teixeira at first. You know, are they going to use Pujols? Are you going to pay all that money for a DH? I don't think so. You know, Boston has Adrian Gonzalez. You know, again, a situation there. Are you going to pay all that money to have him replace Big Poppy in a year or two as a DH? I mean, I don't see that happening either. I don't know of any other teams. Are the Chicago Cubs going to go out and try to secure that type of money? You know, they've got to find a new general manager. They've been burned with long time bad free agency deals. Now, would this be a bad signing? No, it wouldn't. But I think their focus is more of, hey, we've got all these young kids playing. Let's build our minor league system back up. I don't think they're really a serious contender of going after Albert Pujols. I don't know who really goes after him or has the money to go after him. And I think that's why the Cardinals are in a pretty good spot. I just don't know if any team could step up and pay that kind of money.
I think San Francisco is the one team. When you look at a team that can spend that money, they have the base between the two of them. I think they make a hard run at Prince Fielder, to tell you the truth, Bill.
Yeah, I mean, I think so too. I mean, I don't know. I mean, a lot of it depends, I think, what the Cardinals do. If the Cardinals jerk Pujols around and give him a reason to look at other offers, then, you know, you might ruin that relationship, and then maybe he does look somewhere else. If I were an organization, I mean, I look not only at the on-field production of an Albert Pujols, but, I mean, you look at what he would do in terms of bringing fans in, and, I mean, those are things that, you know, not a lot of people think about. And, I mean, who wouldn't go for him, right? I mean,
yeah.
You could say, okay, all right, yeah, we haven't spent $300 million, but, you know, you think about the increase of you know, if you boost your attendance by 15, 20,000, you're going to more than pay for it. And the way people pitch around him and the way that, you know, you approach that whole lineup with Albert Pujols in there, it changes and makes you a better team. So I think people would like to try to go after him, but I think the Cardinals still have the first shot, and as long as they're fair with him and they don't jerk him around, they'll sign him.
And if you get Albert Pujols back next year, I mean, this Cardinal team's going to be right back up there in the conversation in the NL Central, getting Adam Wainwright back with Jaime Garcia, with Chris Carpenter. I mean, the cupboard's not bare in St. Louis.
No, absolutely not. In fact, Albert Pujols just said yesterday on their day off, he's kind of scratching his head. He says, you know, you look around in this clubhouse and you look at the lineup and you look at the players that we have and you think, how are we 10.5 games out? I mean, it's a good ball club. But again, I go back to just how red-hot the Brewers have gotten. You're right. I think not having Adam Wainwright in that starting rotation hurt a lot. I still think, you know, Chris Carpenter has had some bad luck. He's got to be a better pitcher, though, next year. Jaime Garcia, you mentioned him. He's actually not pitching in this series, and they're bringing in that Dixon. They're trying to rest him a little bit and save his arm. So, you know, they have to get him back on track. He started out very hot and is cooled. So, yeah, I mean, there's, you know, there's a solid team here in place. But, again, it all goes back to just what Milwaukee has done and the, you know, the late trade deadline moves that they made. And they bettered their ball club. And they did it more than the Cardinals.
You brought up the late trades. I'll throw one more out there. Was there a move that St. Louis could have made where things would be different? It almost seems like there is. I know people talked about Heath Bell. Would that have made a difference down the stretch?
You know, I think so because, you know, that closer's role was what really cost the Cardinals early. They had Ryan Franklin. That was a spot that they figured they had closed up and taken care of. And, you know, I don't have the stats in front of me, but there were a number of blown saves that he had, and I think it was up to 7. And then they brought up a rookie from AAA Memphis, Fernando Salas, who filled in and did quite well. Another guy that has come along well, and I think you'll actually see him if the Cardinals get in a situation where they can close a game out, is by going to Jason Mott. He's kind of been their eighth inning guy. He had an opportunity to close the other day against Pittsburgh. He has been phenomenal. I mean, I'm surprised that John Mozeliak, the general manager, didn't make some type of a run at Heath Bell. And that was a big talk that you heard, was that after the All-Star break, the Cardinals were the top team to go out and get him. And that's what they needed. They took Kyle McClellan, who was a starter. Once Adam Wainwright got hurt in spring, they moved him into the starting rotation and was doing a really good job. They had to move him to the bullpen. And they went out and they got starter Edwin Jackson. They picked up Octavio Dotel for the bullpen. They didn't make big moves. John Mozeliak didn't go out and get that big guy. And that big guy to get would have been Heath Bell. Now if you get this Fernando Salas, who was doing quite well, and you got Jason Mott, you know, you've got your 7th, 8th, and 9th innings sewn up, and you get that solid starting pitching. That's a huge difference. And them not doing that, I think, cost them some ball games.
I know this counts for all bullpen. It's not just the 9th inning, but 23 blown saves on the season for the Cardinals.
Yeah. That's
a telling statistic, right?
Yeah, I mean, that could be, you know, I mean, that's the, you know, that could be a situation there where, you know, even if you cut that in half and you take that, you know, say it's 10 blown saves or 11 blown saves, well, there's 12 extra wins. Now, all of a sudden, you're right there with Milwaukee. As well as Milwaukee has played, if you save some of those ball games, you know, you're right in there with them. So, yeah, that's a huge move in why John Mozeliak did not go out and get Bell. Maybe they wanted too much, but the pieces were certainly in place where they could have made a run for the postseason. And I think that Mozeliak kind of lacked in that department.
I look at the St. Louis Cardinals, sports director with Missouri Net Radio. He is Bill Pollack. Bill, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us, and enjoy the series, all right?
Yeah, hey, if you got time, I want to ask you a question. What
Yes.
is the tell everybody here, because we'll have this on our podcast here in Missouri, just talk about how much excitement there is around the Brewers. And I mean, is this their year? I mean, is this something they have to do now, knowing that they could lose Prince Fielder? I mean, is this their year? They got to make it happen now.
You know, I'll tell you this, Bill. I'm 29 years old. I was 9 months old when the Brewers in 1982. Okay, so I haven't been around this. Even with 2008, how things played out with the wild card, getting back to the playoffs. This past couple of weeks, it's been the first time in my life, in my working life too, where I've really looked at a Brewers loss and said, "Whatever." I mean, that's kind of the feeling right there, where it's so eyes on the prize for everybody, getting to the playoffs and. And you're right. I mean, this is their year. Prince Fielder probably not coming back next year. The pitching has been great. It's almost like the stars are in line for this team to make a run. They're selling out every single game. People that, you know, 5 years ago didn't care about the Milwaukee Brewers now care about this team. Everybody's talking about it. The Packers on preseason, nobody wants to talk Green Bay Packers, which is amazing around here, to tell you the truth. But, yeah, everybody's focus is on the Brewers. It's never been as I've never seen it this exciting, so it's kind of a wait and see what happens now, and then come October again, I think the excitement's really going to kick up.
And, you know, if they're selling out, why can't they afford Fielder? You know what I mean?
Because this is the way that they look at it, and it's Markham and Greinke or Prince Fielder. With Prince Fielder and Ryan Braun in this lineup with Yovani Gallardo as a starting pitcher, you saw what happened in 2009 and 2010. The pitching staff struggled to a point where it didn't matter how good the offense did, they were losing games. So I think everybody feels like if you have three top pitchers, you have a better time of winning than you do if you have two really, really good hitters. Now, how does Prince Fielder affect Ryan Braun if, you know, he leaves? Because Braun has Fielder protecting him. I think that's why. Here's a good way to put it, okay? If you were to ask me who the MVP of this team is, the MVP of the National League, I would say it's Prince Fielder because his impact on that lineup, he makes Ryan Braun a better player. And his impact that is there, if you take him out of the lineup, they suffer more than if you take Ryan Braun out of the lineup. So I'd put it that way. But still, in the same sense, having the three pitchers there is still more important than than Prince Fielder. So you can go your greater than, less than equation, but I think there's nothing greater than having three good pitchers in the lineup.
Well, and if there was a franchise that proved that, you go back to the 90s and look at the Atlanta Braves.
Well, look at last year with San Francisco.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
I mean,
absolutely.
The San Francisco Giants, and I think that has really lessened the blow of Prince Fielder leaving for a lot of people, is that the fact that Markham and Greinke are going to be back this year. And if you really break it down and you look at this Brewer team, they're not smashing the ball around the yard. Prince Fielder and Ryan Braun may be the faces of this organization, but that's not the reason they're winning. They're winning because of Markham, Greinke, and Gallardo. And on top of that, I mean, everybody's talking about, you know, Cole Hamels and Roy Oswalt, the 3-4 for Philadelphia. I would take Milwaukee's 3-4 in a series against Philadelphia any day. Randy Wolf has a 3.37 ERA. Yeah, that's the best ERA out of any starting pitcher on the Milwaukee Brewers. And Chris Narvison, you know, the number 5 guy this year, he's right about a 4. I mean, he's had some phenomenal games too. So top to bottom with that pitching staff, that's a bigger chunk of the reason why Milwaukee's winning. Not that they can win without Prince Fielder, but if you were to take the odds of winning with Prince Fielder and one good starting pitcher or three starting pitchers and no Prince Fielder, you got to take the three starting pitchers.
That's a very good point. And I think if you have to pick one acquisition out of all of baseball to say that was the biggest acquisition of all, out of all the teams, I think you guys getting Zach Greinke was the deal.
You know, it's funny you bring that up, Bill, because there was MLB Trade Rumors, one of the sites I like to go to for baseball information, had the poll up the other week. Which of the four trades for Milwaukee was the most, you know, the biggest impact? Sean Markham for Brett Lowry. Now, I know everybody's oozing over Brett Lowry. The guy was, for lack of a better word, an ass, and the organization couldn't wait to get rid of him. So Markham came over for a guy that they didn't even want. You had the Greinke deal. Greinke and Unieski Betancourt came over for, I guess you can call them the four prospects, even though a couple had major league experience in Elcides Escobar and Lorenzo Cain, Jeremy Jeffress, and Jake Odorizzi, who's going to be lights out. Let me tell you that. That's who Kansas City got. Niger Morgan was traded for Lenny Dykstra's kid, Cutter Dykstra, who I think was a first-round pick because he was Lenny Dykstra's kid. He's batting .225 at low A ball. And then the Francisco Rodriguez trade. Rodriguez was kind of on the back burner of that one, but the other three trades, I mean, around here, you can take your pick to which of those trades has been the most impact.
Yeah.
Greinke was the biggest name, but all three of those guys coming over have worked out. It's rarely a team will make four consecutive trades that work out. Usually you have one that doesn't really work out in that mix, but, you know, Doug Melvin's looked like a genius this year.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. No doubt about that. Hey, what about the Cubs going after Fielder? You know, they keep talking about them going after Pujols.
You know, I guess it's a concern.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it could happen, but exactly like you said earlier, Bill, who knows what the state of the Cubs is and what they're trying to do. Are they trying to cut the salary? Are they trying to, you know, build young and then go through? Are they willing to take their lumps for the next couple of seasons? I think that's what boils around to. I'll tell you what, if it's kind of funny, Carlos Pena, if the Cubs, they have a one-year option on them. If they don't pick that up, I think that's the guy to watch out for in Milwaukee, to tell you the truth.
You think that? Oh boy, he hit 198 last year. He's hitting 244 this year.
I mean, they'll go after a stopgap guy. I mean, that's what it's going to boil down to. Because if Milwaukee doesn't sign somebody, you know, in the majors to play first base, you're looking at Matt Gamble, who's coming up, who's in 3 years of time in the majors is batting like 125.
Yeah.
I mean, he hasn't been able to hit his stride there too. He's been a top prospect. Him and Laporta, before they traded Laporta for CC Sabathia, both of those guys are batting like 350 together in the minors, just clubbing the ball out of the yard. Some people thought Campbell might have higher upside than Matt Laporta, but that's the option there. They're probably going to go do that. You know, find a stopgap guy at first base if they don't sign Prince Fielder.
Very interesting. Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, I'm liking the Brewers right now. I mean, to get to the World Series. I mean,
you know what? I think they're right up there in the mix. In baseball, you get to the postseason, you got a chance. I mean, if you play three bad games in a row, which Milwaukee could do, you know, against Atlanta or whoever they would be playing, you know, it's over. But I like their chances as good as everybody else. Maybe a little bit behind Philly, you know, if I'm going odds. But, I mean, in baseball, you can't count anybody else.
Yeah, right. I'm telling you, watch out for Greinke. That guy, he is just – he's got the mental makeup. And he's got the stuff. I don't think he'd be overwhelmed at all in the playoffs. And, you know, you could ride his arm. And like you mentioned, the other guys, Markham, he's a Missouri State guy here. So people here in this state know about him, too. I think this would be a much different team than their last playoff run.
I tell you, with Greinke, the biggest thing is he hasn't been consistent. He got off to a slow start. His first half of the season wasn't what you expected, but he's been lights out here. I think why he maybe gets lumped in with the other guys, even though talent-wise he's ahead, is Markham, Wolf, and Gallardo. They've all been consistent this year.
Yeah, and but, you know, he had those bad ribs too, though.
Yeah, true.
So, yeah. Well, good for you guys. I mean, I got to give you credit.
It's fun.
Yeah, it's fun for you guys. And it's good for baseball. I think it's great to see Milwaukee doing so well. So it's great to see teams get on the road.
I'll tell you this. When we talk about, you know, the pitchers and stuff, if they got to win now. Because 3-4 years, 5 years down the road, their minor league system is absolutely nothing. They have nothing in the minors left. 5 years ago, best minor league system in baseball. Right now, they have nothing left because they've taken a bigger market mentality, if you want to call it that, and made the trades, and they're really trying to win right now. So the fall could be coming soon for this team, but nobody's talking about that because of, you know, the rise that is going on right now.
Yeah, enjoy it while you can.
Yeah, so
absolutely.
Phil, I'll get that stopped right there.
Yeah, that's good.
I'll send you the whole thing. I'm probably going to cut out.